This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Protocol for Life Balance, offering a wide range of professional-grade supplements using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, two stand out, which help nourish your brain: Protosorb Magnesium and Cogumin SLCP. Protosorb Magnesium features a patented form of magnesium that easily crosses the blood-brain barrier, delivering magnesium directly to your brain. Cogumin SLCP features optimized curcumin, which also allows free curcumin to cross the blood-brain barrier. Protosorb Magnesium and Cogumin SLCP are highly innovative products that help nourish your brain. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's our weekly Q&A with Layla, where we answer your questions. Your questions can come to us via radio program at AOL.com. And with me today is Layla Mudin. She's our nutritionist in residence, and on a weekly basis, she joins me to answer listener questions. How are you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Okay, well, let's see what's in the news. This is something that I came across recently, which is, and I don't know how I missed it, but it's a study which suggests that nicotinamide riboside may be helpful in the treatment of ALS.
Ooh.
Now, the researchers used a nicotinamide riboside product that also contains something called tyrosylbene, which is similar to resveratrol. It's found in blueberries.
It starts with a PT.
Pterodactyl.
Yeah. Yes.
Pterostilbene. it's combined with nicotinamide riboside in a proprietary product. It's not the true Niagen that we use, but the nicotinamide riboside is the business end, I think, of that formula.
Mm-hmm.
So the researchers found a slowing in the progression of ALS.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow, that's encouraging.
They said that patients who took this for 4 months not only stopped getting worse, they even improved on several clinical endpoints. The treatment appeared to stave off decline for up to a year in participants enrolled in open-label extension. Now, the preliminary study, also proprietary study, because it was sponsored by the manufacturers of this nicotinamide riboside product.
Okay.
But
grains of salt. Okay.
But you know, it really is exciting and really suggests that nicotinamide riboside is, you know, it based on the NAD principle.
Yeah.
In the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you know, from time to time we get ALS patients coming in looking to optimize the situation. The first thing I tell them is, if anybody tells you they got a cure for ALS, you should run, run in the opposite direction. Can we ameliorate the condition? Can we mitigate the problem? I believe we can. I think that there are some things we can do. And, you know, we've helped some patients stave off decline.
Yes.
But, you know, I've not had an opportunity to try nicotinamide riboside in an ALS patient.
Yeah, that would be interesting. We use it for so many different... Well,
neurodegenerative conditions.
And what's interesting, one case comes to mind of a lady that has Meniere's disease and always felt like the sound was resounding in her head, kind of like the body of a guitar. It was like she felt like she was tinnitus.
She had tinnitus.
Yeah.
A hissing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what happened was that sensation then went away by taking nicotinamide riboside.
Well, you know, there's a guy here who works here in our office,
mm-hmm.
who's a physical therapist, and he had been to some rock concerts and got his ears blown out and had an aftermath of tinnitus. He was very unhappy about that. He said, I shouldn't sat too close to the speakers.
Yeah.
You know, he's a young guy. He's like in his 30s. And he had actually listened to some of my podcasts, and he heard me talk about nicotinamide riboside.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote an article about tinnitus where I included nicotinamide riboside among the plausible things for it. And he said he'd taken it, and he was a little better. And I said, double up. And he was taking, instead of two of the really potent, I think it's 300 milligram.
Yeah.
I got him to take four, you know, which is an investment. It can be expensive.
Yeah.
But he said he definitely experienced an improvement when he upped his level of nicotinamide riboside. So tinnitus is such a prevalent problem that it's worth a try with the nicotinamide riboside. Yeah. The product is True Niagen that we use.
We're seeing more ALS. We're seeing more Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
It's very concerning.
There was also a trial recently looking at, Dr. David Perlmutter did glutathione infusions with,
Parkinson's.
For Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. So in this research, they use NAC orally, because the thing about NAC is it's better absorbed orally than glutathione.
Yeah.
And they also used NAC infusions, IV NAC, in a series of patients with Parkinson's, and they had good results.
Yeah.
So clearly there's something about glutathione or NAC, which is a precursor to glutathione, for certain neurodegenerative diseases. And we have a patient who has Parkinson's dementia.
Yes.
Remember, we saw a few weeks ago, and I said, come back in a couple of months.
Yes.
She's due back. I wonder how she's doing on our program.
Well, we're going to find out. Wow. So toxic exposures in something like Parkinson's, right? The late Walter Crinian often talked about, you know, it's not about living in urban areas, the toxic exposures. It's living downwind of farms. You could be living in the country.
Yep.
And, you know, if the wind is going in your direction while they're blowing pesticides, herbicides, and all of that, and you suddenly, he was talking about a particular case study about a female patient he had who had the return of her Parkinson's symptoms, and he had to put her through a detox, which I'm sure included lots of NAC and glutathione, the master, one of the master detoxifying antioxidants that we make, right?
I see we have a question about detox here today. We can talk about that in just a minute, but I also want to mention, along those same lines, in this week, one of the headlines is, mothers work with solvents tied to higher autism risk for kids. So we believe that autism is multifaceted, that there's a variety of influences in autism, genetic, nutritional, but also toxic. And, you know, it's not just about vaccines, but vaccines may impart higher levels of certain preservatives or mercury to some kids, a subset of kids who can't detoxify very well. So it may be that big studies show that vaccines don't cause autism. But that maybe in...
Maybe it's a straw that breaks the camel's back.
In 3 or 5% of kids with very poor detoxification who are exposed to other toxins, it may be, a contributing factor. Mm-hmm. I still am not ready to seed... it's not a binary thing. It's not like vaccines are fine or vaccines are not to be had under any circumstances.
Right. This is true.
But the solvents exposure, I mean, clearly is a model for how occupational exposure... can, you know, create the exposure to medicines, metals, pesticides, anesthetics, even asphalt, brake fluid, plastics and polymers, radiation, cleaners, disinfectants, paint chemicals, degreasers. Mothers exposed to any solvents were 50% more likely to have a child with autism. Greater solvent exposure was associated with an 85% higher autism risk. So, you know, if you're pregnant, stay away, you know, if possible. I mean, some people are just it's just their livelihood depends on dangerous work.
That's true.
And there's not enough protection is afforded to, especially, I think, poorer people. I would say, you know, frankly, you know, with these this thing of illegal immigrants, they just put them in all the dirty jobs sometimes without any kind of environmental protection. You know, that's it's dangerous that they live in the shadows because they get, you know, they don't get the protections afforded ordinary citizens.
True that, yeah. That's true. The other thing about these toxic exposures to solvents and such is they can accumulate. They could have happened a very, very long time ago. And the stuff is still living, so to speak, or taking up space in your body, in your tissues, in your muscles, in your organs. When they test the placentas of these women after birth, they find that there are lots of different toxins, even those that have been banned back in the 1970s.
Yep. And so, they reside in the environment.
Right.
Yep.
Right. So very, very
glyphosate
important.
Is among them.
Mm.
Roundup.
And you know, you don't have to just stop using Roundup on your lawn, right? You have to stop eating foods that contain Roundup. Your box of pasta,
your GMO,
bread,
GMO soy,
your GMO stuff, mm-hmm. all of your GMO, yep. everything, your corn, even your potatoes, even if they're not organic. I think farmers, at least over the last 30 years, have been using it as a desiccant,
mm-hmm.
making harvest easier
right.
for their crops.
Well, I guess it dries things out, and it also makes it so that the whatever rot doesn't take over.
Set in.
Yeah.
And take away from
kills that. Everything.
Yeah, kills everything. So, unfortunate, all the things we have to be concerned about, but there's a wonderful website, Environmental Working Group, EWG.org, and they even go into great detail about the particular toxins in the environment, what to watch, even what has been banned, what is still being found, all of that. And for you ladies who are looking for safe cosmetics, and hey, maybe some of you men who are looking for safe cosmetics, go to safecosmetics.org.
Well, men put a lot of, like, you know, use deodorant, they use, like, skin creams, they use shampoos,
sunblocks and
conditioners.
Things. Right, moisturizers.
Moisturizers.
Certainly. It's not just about the makeup.
So, you know, limit your exposure.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Do your best to limit your exposure. Okay.
In a toxic world.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So, shall we get on to questions?
Indeed.
Okay. We have one from William. Dr. Hoffman, I was listening to a portion of your broadcast in the car on Saturday. The topic was regarding supplements containing concentrated vegetables and fruits. I did not hear the name of the product while I was listening. Could you please tell me the name and info on ordering? Oh my gosh.
This is so funny because it really confirms something that is actually one of my radio colleagues, you know, 25 or 30 years ago, used to use this phrase a lot, which was, listeners don't listen.
Yes.
And so this is precisely the opposite of what I was talking about. I was talking about mm-hmm. how bad
yeah.
some of these things are. So he heard a fragment of the conversation. He said, oh, Dr. Hoffman's talking about these things. We're going to get some of these things,
yeah.
you know, and the car noise and the
right.
you know, the road sounds of his tires and, you know, he hit a pothole. So what I was doing in that segment was I was basically ragging mm-hmm. on these unsubstantiated claims, which is that by taking 6 capsules of concentrated fruits and vegetables, you get all the nutrition associated with eating a balanced diet
mm-hmm.
and substantial portions of fresh fruits and vegetables.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't want to belabor the point because somebody's going to hear this and say, oh, where can I get a hold of these things? Dr. Hoffman's talking about them. You know, and we have done this,
yeah.
I think in a previous podcast, you and I, and I do it on my show, is I think it's...
You wrote an article about it in the newsletter.
This is one of the things about our field where, you know, there's some companies that are unethical,
yes.
make unsubstantiated claims.
Mm-hmm.
They take the money to the bank. And the latest theme of some of these tests, because there are a lot of testimonials there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody knows that the lowest form of science is a testimonial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tried... True. You know, Aunt Sally's, you know, butt crack remedy, and it worked great. You know, it was molasses and kerosene, and
ouch.
It's like some
folks. I felt that. Okay.
I'm afraid to even say it because some folks are going to say, "Let me write this down: molasses and kerosene."
For
I'm gonna
butt crack.
Yeah, you know, so these testimonials were, and the latest theme is like. I'm not buying any more vitamins and supplements anymore. I'm just taking my fruits and veggie capsules and,
yeah.
you know, it's just, I feel great.
Mm.
I feel great is the theme, you know, whatever it is, whether you've had, you know, brain damage due to a hemorrhagic stroke or
yeah.
whether you have multiple sclerosis or whether you have,
That one might be my favorite. Well, actually, those two are my favorites.
Weeping wounds of due to ulcerations on your legs, you know, these things just seem to resolve miraculously when you take fruits and vegetables. But, you know, I will tell you that my experience in the field of nutrition is if I have someone who's had a hemorrhagic stroke, if I were to tell them, you know, eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, you know, I think I would have lost my medical license by now. You know, so, so, but there's a one step removed. Eating lots of fruits and vegetables is a hell of a lot better than taking concentrated, desiccated tablets of the remnants of fruits and vegetables in a capsule.
Exactly.
You know.
And there's
Have we said enough to drive this into the ground? I don't know. Maybe I don't know what we have to do. Do we have to take out a billboard on the Long Island Expressway? Don't take these
supplements.
Look up from your podcast at this sign.
Yeah.
Do not take this. Put a big leg.
Right. And another problem with these so-called whole food type supplements, and even though this is not necessarily whole food, what if you're allergic to strawberries? What if you're allergic to rhubarb? What if you're allergic to tomatoes or something like that?
Or what if you have
take these supplements?
What if you have high oxalic acid?
Yeah,
you know, which is there's a fair amount of that in there for some people.
Right, maybe you can't have the spinach that's in these,
which is problematic.
Exactly.
For some people.
So you'd want to be careful that way. As a nutritionist, I'm not a big fan of whole food supplements for that reason. There may be some intolerance on the part of the patient.
You know,
some
and here's the thing: if we could sell it, you know, it'd be so much more profitable than if you sit there and you laboriously tell people how to shop. Go to the market, you pay the money at Whole Foods or at Trader Joe's.
It's called the magic pill,
and it goes to them, to their bottom line, and you have just expended, you know, 45 minutes telling people how to select the proper organic produce.
Right.
But there's no getting around that.
No. And this is being purported to be a magic pill.
Yeah.
And it's, well, the six of them.
Panacea-like.
But exactly.
Yeah.
And it's
also,
not.
The other thing is, so it discourages people from taking vitamins and supplements because you gotta get it from the nat plants. It's all in there anyway. And the other thing it does is it discourages people
from eating right.
I just took these, I don't need to eat a salad today. You know, I'm a cab driver, you know, I just had like, a hot dog for lunch, and I've got my veggie pills, so I just go to...
My hot dog and veggie pills.
Right, you know.
And I'm done.
Yeah, I just ask for a glass of water, you know, when I order my hot dog, and I take my fruit and veggie pills in the cab while I'm driving. You know, why lose time? Because it takes time to eat a salad.
It will give people license to think that they can go further out and not do the right thing, not eat the right way. And the most important thing you could do for your health is get into a good habit, a good pattern of eating the right day. Most days of your life would be good. So, yeah, the magic bullet pills are not going
to
do it.
So the number to call is 1-800-DITCH-THE-VEGGIE-PILLS.
That's 1-800
ditch the Betty pills.
Pills.
Call that number.
Yeah. So William, there's your answer.
I love it though. It is.
Oh, that's so funny.
Wow.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
We have an email from Michael. Greetings, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. What is the main difference between whey protein isolate and just whey protein, not the isolate version? Which version is best for enhancing the immune system and building and maintaining muscle?
Over you, Layla, on that one, because it's a little technical, you know, a little bit.
I know. Yeah. The whey protein isolate is, it's more isolated protein. You're getting actually a higher amount of protein in the isolate than just the regular whey protein.
Okay.
You're also getting, in the isolate, the whey protein isolate, you're getting less carbohydrate, less lactose, you're also getting less fat.
So it's preferable?
So really, the protein has been isolated, which is true. You're getting more amino acids, you're getting a little more protein that way. Mm-hmm. That really is the difference between the whey protein isolate and just the whey protein.
So whey also is a good generator of glutathione.
And yes.
Why is that? Because it has the precursor amino acids?
Yes, it has a precursor amino acids.
Glutamine. Glycine, and...
glutamine, glycine, and cysteine.
Yeah.
And you also, because you're getting more amino acids from the isolate form, you're getting more amino acids, which are the building blocks of muscle. It's your protein, it's all of that. if you're, say, a bodybuilder and looking for something like that, you may be better off.
So here's another one that that I heard, and this applies to bodybuilding, but it also applies to people who have blood sugar problems, is that when you take whey protein, a serving of whey protein, say, prior to a meal, it actually enhances your insulin release. So if your pancreas is weak, and you know some people are already over-producing insulin, but some people who are having blood sugar control problems, they need to encourage the pancreas to, the weak pancreas, to secrete a little more insulin. With bodybuilding, insulin actually helps build muscle.
Yeah.
So that's why the bodybuilders will like to use that to enhance their muscle metabolism.
Yeah.
So
now, alternatively,
so it's not just the building blocks for muscle; it actually helps metabolically to encourage muscle synthesis.
Yes, yes. And for those of you who are already getting ample amounts of protein in your diet, there's no reason to supplement with the whey protein, because all that excess protein, especially if you're trying to lose weight, all that excess protein can pick up your blood sugar.
I was surprised. I looked at the label on a whey protein supplement, and one scoop gives you 23 grams of protein. So let's say you go hog wild, you know, you're taking like four scoops a day. Already you got 100 grams of protein.
Whoa, yeah.
What is a...
I think you're done.
Yeah, if that's like a normal male requirement,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
It's surprising. I mean, I didn't realize how concentrated that was.
Mm-hmm. It is concentrated.
Right.
So you want to watch that, and certainly... if you have any kind of kidney disease or compromised kidney function, you have to be careful with things like that, because that can cause excess strain. And again, all that additional protein can turn back into blood sugar. If you're trying to achieve ketosis on a ketogenic diet, you don't want to overdo any types of protein. Your protein intake is still between 20 and 30%. It's your fat intake that increases. Now, and also the whey protein itself, not the isolate, because of the additional carbohydrate and fat, the fat part is okay, but it's the carbohydrate portion.
How much carbohydrate is there in
Not much.
Okay.
A couple of grams, maybe, of lactose.
But it's almost impossible to have no carbs in a whey protein.
Yeah, yeah, unless you're just doing the isolate.
Okay.
The isolate,
So there you have it. I mean, I think whey protein is... has value.
It does.
It also, you know, we will use it sometimes in patients who are, you know, underweight, or patients who are having a suboptimal caloric intake.
That's true.
You know, we want to build them up. They have sarcopenia.
They have sarcopenia. I like it for elderly patients. Mm-hmm. And we'll often be asked, you know, but wait, it's dairy. That's not good. It's not good for autoimmunity. It's not good for a whole lot of things. Yes, that is absolutely true. The protein that is mostly problematic in dairy is casein.
Right.
That casein is not within the whey. The whey is what's left over in cheese making.
Little
and
Miss
so
Muffet
forth.
Sat in her tuffet eating her curds and whey.
Yeah.
So what's the nutritional biochemistry behind that is that the curds are casein.
Yes.
Right? Curds are actually separated out to make cheese. The German word is Käse.
Uh-huh.
Casein, Käse, cheese. Mm-hmm. That's how I remember that. And then the whey is lactalbumin.
Right.
Which is the
and
other
that's
protein.
That's the byproduct. That's the leftover.
Which less people have less intolerance to than casein.
Right.
Right.
Right. So there are many, and maybe for most autoimmune patients, it's best to avoid all of it, including the whey. But the whey would be far less problematic than any casein, in my estimation. So whey protein can be beneficial.
So it's actually buttermilk.
Buttermilk
is basically the what's left over after you extract the curds, or cottage cheese, which then you ferment, compress, process into various cheeses.
So, Michael, thank you for that very thoughtful question.
Yeah, it really provoked a discussion. All right, we are at the end of the line for part one.
Wow.
Give us a preview of what we're going to talk about in part two.
My trustworthy natural food store has recommended N-acetylcysteine for my 3-year-old to help detox.
Oh, so this is another theme of detox that we started out with this hour. Well, let's talk about N-acetylcysteine for a 3-year-old for detox in part two. We got some pretty strong opinions about that.
Yes.
We'll share with you momentarily. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla Mudin. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, and we'll be right back with more.